Almighty God, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Amen.
Amen.
What would we ever do without chapter 8 of Romans? I don't know if I'd be a believer. I believe that the sufferings we now endure in the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed to us. They say a horizon is the limit of our sight. Here on the Cape, we're used to fog rolling in at a moment's notice. Storms come and go. Dreadful tragedies, such as the one we faced this week in Malaysia, occur suddenly out of the sky. Factions in the Holy Land wage war against each other, separated only by narrow barricades. Sickness has the same defeatist effect on horizons, limiting our horizons, when it occurs to a loved one, to us, or even to a pet. I've always felt a bit encouraged on parish calls at the hospital when someone has suddenly gotten interest in the newspaper again, or is starting to like hospital food. You know they're on the mend. The air we breathe, like our anxieties, heat up and make us feel uncertain, uncomfortable, dislocated, threatening our confidence, our outlook, our faith. What next, we wonder? When will it all be over? When will the violence and the dis-ease lighten up? And so we turn our attention briefly today to what St. Paul says in his Epistle to the Romans. It is a challenging and courageous passage of honesty. At the very least, one can say that St. Paul doesn't dodge the issues. He isn't pessimistic or just a passive dreamer. He doesn't offer platitudes or easy answers. Rather, he faces up to the reality of the situations you and I face. He was a doer of the word, not just a hearer, a dedicated activist in his own time. Constantly, he urged his readers and his hearers to be alert, to keep on working and praying for the coming reign of Jesus Christ. He gave us something to fall back on whenever you and I are tested. Paul gives us a deep resource we must resort to as faithful Christians when times are tough. His meaning is clear. For where there is suffering, it is our duty to work as hard as we can to alleviate it. And the same goes for war, human violence, ignorance, prejudice, fear. We are to push forward the horizon boundaries of our compassion for all people, to embrace and care for people from all walks of life. Finally, St. Paul offers us no backdoor escape from suffering and responsibility. But he gives us the courage to endure it, the hope, the power, the strength to see it through. We are to live with eager expectation and with hope, even though at times we groan inwardly, as he said, at the troubles we feel, while we wait for God to set us free. We hope for something that we do not yet see, but hopefully we learn that it is in our waiting that we show patience, true character, endurance. Thus it seems there are two dimensions to our resurrected faith in Jesus Christ. There is first the life we have already, but there is also the life for which we hope but is not yet fully known. And it is between the already and the not yet that we live our daily lives, living out the paradox, the questions, the fears, the inconsistencies, the failures as God's resilient people. And it is, my friends, within the interval of the already and the not yet that God enters our space and gives us such abundant resources for ministry, grace, love, forgiveness, healing, and the power of endurance. Thus we all await a better time as Christians, as Paul said. We look forward in our striving as well as our coping, reaching towards some fulfillment. What Paul says is in store for us, which shall be revealed as God's children and heirs of God's grace and his undying love. All this is what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. Though this kingdom is not yet fully here, though already inaugurated, very much on the horizon. In the meantime, it seems that you and I must endure what Ralph Edward Peterson calls, and I quote, the shackles of mortality. Within the hints of God's kingdom coming closer and closer each day, being disclosed in discoveries, in remedies, more and more. Here are some examples of this forward movement of God's kingdom within the now of our lives. That an early sign of dementia can be detected by our eye doctor over at the mall. How wonderful. Someone said this morning they're not going to the mall anymore. That more and more is being learned about the distinct signatures of each kind of cancer that can be addressed by some specific treatment to end this scourge. The depths of immunotherapy, which I was reading about between services outside Libby's office. The technology that allowed Jack to come to the 8 o'clock service today with a small oxygen tank and worship with us made my day. Here's the story of the black midwife a few years ago down in a southern town. Everybody loved her. She was a midwife. She was a teacher in the church school. She was a teacher in the little school, too, in town. Her cousin from up north came down and says, why is it that so many people just think the world of you down here? And she says, well, I guess I taste my words a little bit before I let them out of my mouth. Well over a century ago, a young soldier from a small European town had been killed in wartime. His family and friends approached the local pastor, asking if he could be buried in the church's fenced-in cemetery. The pastor expressed his regret since the man and his family were not members of that particular denomination. The soldier was then buried just outside the cemetery fence. And late one night, all the villagers turned up in the darkness and moved the fence so that the body could be enclosed. That's a breakthrough. That's God working in the interval. That's power. And then this week moved me to tears to see this 15-year-old Pakistani girl who was almost massacred by the Taliban 2 years ago, talking to some of those beautiful, wonderful children that had been abducted. It was like hearing and seeing a new Mother Teresa. Praise God. This is the Christian reality we're dealing with. Living with joy that God is already present with us, but still hoping for the fulfillment, which is not yet. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is, we are reminded here today, the story of what has happened in the past, but that which points us to a better future. And unless we are able to live the reality of God's presence and power here and the now in our moment, we will soon discover that Christianity's past is meaningless and powerless, and its future impossible. One final lesson from today's scripture is certainly one of honesty. In facing what you and I must realize as being so essential in our lives, that participation in the life of Jesus Christ, participation with each of us, is so essential for the building of community and the church. For yesterday is past, the future is not yet here, but today God is helping.